The Wasteland. The near future. Movie clerk David Snyder and overlord Immortan Hoof fight to rid the decaying landscape of the cinematic naivety which infests it. After being told that their animation output is lagging, Apocalypse Video is outfitted by Dave with increased cartoon coverage and a computer-enhanced theme song. It has become the ultimate super pod, Robopod. Hello, welcome back to another episode of the Apocalypse Video Robopod. I'm your host, David Snyder. I'm joined again by eco-terrorist Immortan Hoof.
Let's get wild.
The powers of deforestation.
Pollution rules.
I was wondering when we were going to get to a Protect the Environment episode. This was the late 80s. Captain Planet was the thing, I think, around this time. Or maybe that came a little later with the 90s. But yeah. I was expecting at some point a Protect the Environment episode.
And I'm surprised it took so long to get there.
It took second to last episode. I mean, granted, I mean, maybe they didn't know that this was going to be, they were only going to be a one season show. Maybe if they had known, they would have pushed this episode a little to the forefront to let the kids of the 80s know that they should not. Well, the kids are responsible for deforestation, but with no Captain Planet to let people know, it falls to RoboCop.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I guess we did get a glimpse of pollution, although in the form of nuclear energy with, which episode was that? Was it Despoir?
I think that was
where the blob took over the power plants or whatever, but... But yeah, this one's just straight up, they're in a forest, there's deforestation, and they think it's pollution, or they're just destroying the environment, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, this one starts off a little weird. The reason for RoboCop to be in the quote-unquote wilderness is it flew by so quick, I didn't really have a chance to catch it. Like, so, if I'm not mistaken, I think the reason he's being flown out, correct me if I'm wrong, Hoof, is he's being flown to L.A. as sort of a showcase, I guess. It's almost as if he's flying out to like CES in Los Angeles or something. It's
like... I just remember, yeah, the doctor is the one who's like really excited.
Yeah.
Because she can like showcase RoboCop or something like that.
To other companies, like it flew by so fast, I was just
They're in a plane, and
it really seemed
they're flying over a forest, and the plane goes down, and it's really funny too because the pilot says we've had issues with this model before, so it's like. Which is just crazy. Like...
Well, it's interesting because there's some things in this, like, this is a funny episode, not only because it's the your standard Protect the Environment episode of a show, especially a kid's show. But they also drop like a few little seeds of world building and things to come in the next episode, which is interesting. Like there's a line dropped about the Ultra Police.
Yeah, I specifically wrote that down because we haven't seen that. And it's like,
no,
they've never mentioned it before from what I remember. But this is like the first time we're getting something that, like you said, a seed of what's to come.
Well, here I am, going to Los Angeles to demonstrate RoboCop to the LAPD. Soon, versions of my creation will be fighting crime in L.A. and who knows how many other cities.
Don't count on it, Tyler. Soon OCP's new team of cops, the Ultra Police, will be ready for action. At least they're men instead of machines.
I guess they must have known at this point that their show is coming to the end, so maybe they did have, like, they knew their plans, so like, oh, let's start world building or whatever.
Not only that, there's a line dropped almost like the Clone Wars line that we hear in A New Hope, where Hitchcock, their plane's going down, and Hitchcock's like, let me take over. What's he say? He's like, he mentions the cybernetics
wars. Yeah, he said he fought in the cybernetics war.
Which to me is like, that almost is like the writer saying, like, I love Star Wars, and I really love that line where Obi-Wan Kenobi mentions something about the Clone Wars. Like, it's like it seemed like a nod to that almost, because it's so out of left field. You're like, excuse me?
Yeah, it's...
The cybernetics wars?
You're like, wait, what? What did you say?
Yeah, and I was just thinking of the implications of that. I'm just like, because as the episode goes on, I found myself thinking of that line even more, the cybernetics wars, because this whole episode seems to suggest that there is next to no forest land, like, in the world anymore. That's kind of seemed to be the suggestion, or am I extrapolating too much out of that?
I didn't get that vibe. I just got the vibe that, because they all make a big deal about the forest, like, oh, it's so green or whatever, but it's almost...
Yeah, Murphy goes, it's very green.
Murphy, check this out. It's beautiful.
Very green.
Yeah, but I think it came across to me that they were saying that just because they live in Detroit and they spend all their time in Detroit. So they're just surrounded by the city, right? So I didn't get that, like, this is one of the few forests left in the world or anything like that.
Maybe I was just world building in my head, because in the world of RoboCop, all we ever see is grungy, you know, or grimy, shittyscape. Sorry, I didn't mean to say shittyscape. I meant to say cityscape, but somehow shittyscape seems apt.
But it is, cybernetics war is such a... That's like kind of a big deal.
Well, that's why I think that's why I'm linking the two, because in my mind I'm like, oh, is there nothing but cityscapes left now? Like shittyscapes? Like, you know, like did the robots like take over everything, or is everyone so obsessed with like, you know, robotics and integrating it into our society? Because we've seen in previous episodes, it's almost like an iRobot situation. You got robots, you know, working in diners and shit and working the drive-thru. So it got, I was starting to like connect all these lines that may or may not be there. I was just like, oh man, this world of RoboCop is suddenly much
with
more
interesting. With one line, you opened up a huge can of worms. The potential is infinite. But
exactly.
It's funny, thinking about it more, so there's a robot here that's just in charge of deforesting the forest, and
called a Ravager.
And so, well, it's called a Ravager, but also there's a laser cannon on it. So, like, I don't think we've seen, like, we've seen robots go berserk in the past because of other plans and stuff like that, but we haven't seen like robots with weapons on them like that are functional for other purposes. So this one was weird too, mm-hmm. because it's like, why does this robot have a cannon, a laser cannon on it? So maybe there's something there about like, there are all these robots that were designed for war and now they've been repurposed for other tasks.
I mean, it seems like OCP often puts laser cannons on all of their products, regardless of its primary function.
You never know when you need a laser cannon.
I wouldn't be surprised if the fucking robot waitress from the earlier episode was packing.
Oh my gosh, like under her apron.
I wouldn't be surprised. What I love about this episode is that we're not really so far we haven't really touched on the real focus of the episode, which is the I guess RoboCop apprehending these weaselly guys who are performing deforestation or whatever. Like, I'm just way more interested in like the one dropped line in the beginning of the episode. Like, the rest of this episode is sort of just like your typical, like, I'm sure there was like 20 iterations of this episode on Captain Planet and the Planeteers. That said, it's you know, the episode itself is okay, you know, like RoboCop, like the plane crashes, a environmentalist picks him up, or like environmentalist slash forest ranger, kind
of? Yeah, she's... Well, they never call her a forest ranger. She specifically says she's like an environment... I forget what they said, but she's like an environmental biologist or something like that. But yeah, she's just looking after the forest.
Right. I'm an environmental biologist. Finding and helping endangered species is my job. You looked pretty endangered when I found you.
What exactly do you do?
I check out the water in the streams. I try to keep animals and plants on the verge of extinction from getting totally wiped out. It's a big job.
And so she finds him, and then they end up like happening. Like, basically, like Murphy is continuing to see the brilliance of nature, and he sees like all this shit in the river. It's like, we must track it to its source, and makes the leap of just like, all right, well, we're gonna arrest these guys. They're destroying the environment.
Yeah, it's really. But we find out. It's so. I guess the crime here, because that's the reason that RoboCop is like functioning the way he does, because it turns out the factory is also owned by OCP, and there's There's of this kind course. Of layered thing where it's just like, well, RoboCop's owned by OCP, so he's actually investigating his own company and stuff like that. And OCP's like, what are you doing? Keep butting into our business. We own you.
Which kind of gets into the movie a little bit. They're sort of like treading into the movie.
Right. Yeah. And well, that's another thing that we kind of will see in the future, too. But yeah. It's almost like, what is the crime here? I guess this seems really, when you think about what we're watching, like, okay, so they're, I guess if you just say all deforestation is illegal, then they're doing something wrong. But like, deforestation isn't like illegal automatically. So
it might be wondering, like, is he making the leap? Like the forest and everything that dwells in it is innocent. Like it falls under the Directive One, and that's why he's arresting them?
I don't think so, because he's so like, making he's a leap? So to the letter of the law, right? So he basically has the big law book in his brain, and every action he sees computes against this. So I guess the only reason that this could be illegal is because they don't have permits. So it's like,
so there should have been a scene where RoboCop's like, "Hey, you don't have the right
paperwork." Exactly. Like it's like,
you forgot to file form W-3 or some shit. I find it
hard to believe that OCP owns everything, but they for some reason forgot to make the government write them a permit, because they like basically the implications of RoboCop is that OCP owns everything, including like the government, so they can do whatever they want. So it's just like, well, why don't you just write yourself a permit?
It seems like they are the government, more or less. Like, I mean, they make everything. They have malls, they have drive-thrus, they have everything. It seems like they are the government.
There's one thing, or there's a couple things that we haven't mentioned. And one thing that I thought was, it made my eyes open a little bit wider, but when RoboCop is in the forest, this guy, he's like, basically, he's trying to stop the pollution, but RoboCop is getting in the way. So, they release a pack of robo-dogs.
Robo-dogs! Yes!
And we've seen a robo-dog before, but I was thinking that was a one-off. But this is a legit, like,
Me pack too.
Of robo-dogs. And then when they're attacking RoboCop, they're all biting him. And it just... I'm, like, 99% sure that they use the sound effect of just crinkling soda cans. Because it's like, crinkle, crinkle, crinkle.
I think it's also funny that after all the enemy robots that have tried to stop RoboCop in the past, how many episodes there's been, the ones that have come closest to really fucking him up are the robot dogs.
Yeah, for sure. Like...
And these have to be an invention of Dr. McNamara. Like, I don't think Dr. Tyler was making robot dogs.
No, for sure.
If only Dr. McNamara knew that, like, his the most lowly invention, the robot dog, was the one that came the closest to really fucking up RoboCop.
You gotta start at the basics. That's...
If only he knew, maybe he would have made just a giant robot dog.
That's the problem with scientists. They're always just trying to push the horizon, scientific horizon, but in the end, you should just stuck with the dogs. There's a scene, I don't even remember what the context is, but in my notes, there's a scene after the RoboDogs where they're talking to Lewis, someone's talking to her, and they just cut to her, and then she's just like blows bubblegum and it like pops.
Looks like those tire tracks led us right to an empty cabin. Good work, Lewis.
That was another movie reference. She does that in the first movie a lot when she's being sarcastic.
Okay, because it like happens out of nowhere. I'm like, what? It was just weird.
I mean, it's I don't think we ever see it in the cartoon up to this point. And it's very random and like it's just baffling in this context. It just cuts to her, just and then cut to the next scene.
And then so RoboCop, he's doing all this stuff in the forest or whatever, and he's using his energy. And then again, we get this threat of, which I still don't understand. Like, he's going to shut down. If he shuts down once, he shuts down for good. And it's just,
That's what he seems to suggest. Like, I'll be down for good. It's like, well, no, you'll just be at 0%, and you got to plug in. Maybe you won't be able to use your RoboCop for a few minutes. You got to get up to like 2% power, and then you can start surfing that on your RoboCop.
I was thinking about the implications of this or what this means, and I guess I'm trying to justify why they would be shut down for good or whatever. And I guess the reason I came up with was that if he shuts down once, he's connected to his brain, and that would be like your brain shutting off. And then if your brain shuts down.
I mean, he is a cyborg, yeah, I suppose.
If your brain shuts down.
It would be like your life support system. Like if you were on life support and that went off, you'd be dead.
Yeah, so that's my justification for shutting down for good. I'm like, how could that really be possible? So that's my theory.
We forget that he's a cyborg. He still has human parts, yeah, man.
But speaking of his machine side, there's a detail in this episode that I really like. He gets thrown into the dam and he goes to the water and he sinks because he's heavy. And I'm like, was half expecting him to float. Like if that happened, I wouldn't be surprised. It would be funny, but I wouldn't be surprised. But he actually sinks in the river or whatever.
You know, honestly, I was half expecting a Data from Star Trek moment where he releases some sort of flotation device and he like floats up to the top or something stupid like that. I mean, I feel like we've seen dumber things in this cartoon series.
Yeah, so that would be funny if he had an emergency floating device.
But yeah, like you said, like I too am getting tired of the whole I need to recharge like plot, you know, well, not plot, but just the little story beat, because it happens so much in this series. And it's like, I get it. On one hand, I get it, because it's like, if you didn't have this element, RoboCop would be like Superman. He'd be like unstoppable and it would become less interesting. But on the other hand, it's just like, it sucks that that's his one like Achilles heel, basically. Like Superman, whenever we see that in any Superman story, it's like, oh shit, kryptonite. It's like, again with the kryptonite. It's just like, I wish there was something else that he was. That's why I really like Batman, because he's a human. He's more vulnerable. There's more interesting ways you can play with that to put him in jeopardy. Whereas with Superman, and in this case, RoboCop, it's just like, there's the one thing that renders him useless. And every time it pops up, you're just like, again? Oh, God.
Okay. Yeah, right. Like, we get it. Your power supply sucks.
Well, it's just because you have to hear the same thing again. Like, I need to get to my chair.
Yeah, he needs that chair. And that's what's so funny about this episode is that when he's like really he's in danger again of powering down. And so the doctor and Lewis finally rescue him. And they build a makeshift chair. Like, they.
Well, and it works really well, too, because it's in like this hydroelectric plant or whatever. So, like, his power goes like.
Yeah, but it's so funny that they had to build a whole chair. Like, they couldn't even just have, like, a plug, which is just a...
I figured it would just be a plug, too.
Yeah, because he initially tries to go to the hydroelectric plant with the forest ranger. And then they were planning on building some kind of charging device, right? So she wasn't going to build a chair, so... I just think it's silly that they had to build a whole nother chair.
It's cartoon logic, my friend.
There was a scene in this episode when Lewis and... So it's Lewis, the doctor. I never remember her name. Dr. Tyler. And the forest ranger.
Hedgecock.
They're in a car, right? And they're rescuing RoboCop. And it's so fun. This is the funniest thing in the episode to me, is that when they're rescuing RoboCop, Hedgecock is literally just sitting in the car watching. Like, you can see him. He is drawn in the car. And there's a scene when they're putting him in the car, they put him in the bed of the truck, and it shows Hedgecock and he's just sitting there watching.
Well, it's great, but like, this is because ordinarily Hedgecock would be like, oh shit, Lewis is in trouble, or a human is in trouble or something. But in this case, he gives zero shits. Like, he just wants to watch. He's full on complacent. Like, what later on when they go to rescue RoboCop, he like goes into the little control station at OCP, sees Ralph, the slimy, you know, deforestation manager of OCP's deforestation division, I guess, or whatever you want to call it. And he's like, destroy RoboCop? Fuck no. I just want to I don't want to interfere. I just want a front row seat.
Yeah, he wants to watch Robo. But I thought it was hilarious. Like, he's making no, like, he's not hiding his motivation at all. Like, he gives zero fucks.
No.
I'm warning you. Don't try and stop me.
Stop? From destroying RoboCop? I don't want to stop you. I just want to watch.
Well, again, because in previous episodes, like he lets it be known how he feels about RoboCop, but never once is he. It seems like there's always a situation where someone else's life is at stake, or he has to be a cop. You know, he has to fulfill his duty. Whereas here, it's odd because I feel like the same thing applies. Like Lewis and the Forest Ranger lady are in potential danger, but in this case, he seriously just like sits back. He's just like, I'm just gonna watch.
Yeah,
this
I rewound
shit.
It because,
like, I think he's fed up at this point. He's like, I'm fucking tired of RoboCop.
I was cracking up. I rewound it because there's a frame where he it's the from the rear of the truck, and it just shows Hedgecock watching. I'm just like, I'm dying.
Aren't his, like, arms folded, too? He's just sort of, like, taking
just,
it all in.
He's just, like, he has this blank stare. He's just... It's so funny.
What's another interesting thing about this episode? So, I mean, the long story short in this episode, RoboCop defeats the remote Ravager thing that's controlled remotely by the Ralph guy. He shoots the cameras. He shoots the little leg joint in the Ravager, and it falls to its death at the dam. And then RoboCop arrests, I was going to say RoboCop arrests Ralph, but not before the old man, the president of OCP, goes in and talks to Ralph and is just like, you fucked this thing up so bad. It's like, you weren't supposed to kill RoboCop. He's too valuable an asset to this company. And what I like about this episode is that it kind of gets into, it touches into the whole Directive 4 thing from the movie where RoboCop's not supposed to interfere with I guess it's kind of expanded in the other sequels, but the basic idea is RoboCop's not supposed to fuck with an OCP officer or operation. Like, don't fuck with OCP's business. You can do all your shit, all your police duties elsewhere out in the city, but if OCP's involved, you're not supposed to fuck with it. So I like that they touch on that in this episode, and it's also like, it also kind of gets into RoboCop's human side a little bit. Where he's just like, yes, I agree, old man. I will not interfere with OCP business. ... Unless, you know, I just thought it was cool. Like, it really gets into the whole cyborg thing and Murphy's human side overtaking the robot program side.
Yeah. So there's also another really interesting thing that they write like explicitly in this episode. When we first see this plant, the deforestation plant or whatever, there's a foreman, and the guy who's like the true villain of this episode, he's just like this nerd who wants to get ahead, and he starts out by like, oh, I've saved the company so much money, and then he turns into the villain by trying to apprehend RoboCop, right, and then kill him. So that's where he messed up. But what's so funny about this episode is that at the end, when everything's all said and done, like the director comes in from OCP, like you said, and he does this. They have this whole spiel about, oh, I'm going to give you a promotion, and then because you've really shown initiative, so they give the nerd the promotion just so they can have him be arrested. So
yes,
I was like, what? This is
and this is real lickety split timing too, because RoboCop comes in like 2 minutes after
he has the he burst through the door too, right? So his MO, right, he has to burst through some kind of wall. Like, they had to meet their quota of wall bursting.
Sir, there is a criminal here in need of apprehension.
Here's your man, son.
But I...
Cheer up, Ralph. Once you get out, you'll still have a good 20 years with the corporation. Officer Lewis, would you take charge of the prisoner, please? I would like to speak to Murphy alone.
We'll see you back in Detroit, sir.
But I was like... this is another one of those moments in the show where I'm scratching my head. I'm like, I can't believe they put that in there. Like, they wrote this whole thing about blaming the little guy and promoting him just so he can become the fall guy. Like, I think that's clever, like, that they wrote that in the episode. My kids won't care.
Well, I was expecting it to be, like, I was expecting it to go the other way, where he's promoting him, quotey fingers, but I thought it was going to be a thing where it's like, I'm promoting you to head of research at the Antarctica station or some shit like that. I thought it was going to be a line like that, like a shitty assignment that's technically higher up than where he is
right
now.
But no, they need someone to go to jail because this thing is illegal. So
I'm sorry, Ralph, it's not my signature on the authorization forms, it's yours. And I love that it just says Ralph on the signature form. It looks like he just signed his first name, Ralph.
Yeah, so this is, I think we've seen this before in the cartoon, but if I were a cynic, I'm not, but if I were, I would see this episode as like a really strong condemnation of competition, and it drives people to do terrible things. So I just think, I don't know, this episode is interesting, in my opinion.
Well, it's also an overt thing that now OCP is like doing dirty shit. I feel like the previous episodes, like, they were just sort of like portrayed as with the exception of Dr. McNamara, but like OCP in general was supposed to be kind of more of yes, they're like a company, but they're, I don't know if they've been shown as outright evil yet,
right?
You know, I mean, maybe like a little like slimy business stuff here and there, but like not overtly evil. And this one, like, I feel like it's a lot more
This is the first time that
a lot more.
Yeah,
blatant.
This is the first time that, from the viewer's perspective, OCP is like legitimately breaking the law, and that's what this show is about, right? The law. So, and then this is if you're breaking the law, then you're officially a quote unquote bad guy. So this is the first time that they've been that.
I mean, I would think, up to this point, they've definitely been portrayed as maybe heartless at times, like where, you know, it's like that, like the Man in the Iron Suit episode where, you know, Murphy might be about to die. And then the old man's more like, well, you know, maybe his time has come if we got a better robot on the thing, you know, but not, maybe not out and out evil necessarily. Maybe just heartless, I would say. I might have to go back to the previous episodes. I'm sure someone out there listening is like, are you fucking crazy? He killed a kid once or some weird shit like that I'm forgetting. But I feel like this is the episode, like, where it's out and out. Like, they're.
Yeah, well, for the majority of the episodes that we've seen, I think, from what I remember, I guess you could be right, we could forget, but it's mostly that a criminal does something or a piece of equipment goes haywire or something like that. But this one, they're breaking.
That's the usual MO of these episodes.
Yeah, so, and then the last thing I wanted to make sure I mentioned is that when everything's said and done, like, they're all safe, I swear, Lewis was going to kiss RoboCop, but it cuts away.
Oh, yeah, that reminds me. So, in addition to Lewis saying her usual, Murphy, like 90 times in the episode, we get another person saying, Murphy! And at one point in the episode, it crescendos, and they both say Murphy at the same time. And like, I started laughing because I couldn't help but think, like, oh my god, like, it's out of hand at this point. The Murphy, like, every episode, and now it's just like it's like stereo, just like left channel, right channel. Lewis and the bio scientist or whatever her name was, I can't remember. I don't even remember if they drop her name. I think they just give her a role.
Well, it's funny you say that because like this episode is written in a way when it comes to RoboCop and there are three women all like at his beck and call. Like this episode is kind of written in a weird way when it comes to their scenes. Like it's Lewis, the forest ranger, and Dr. Tyler. And they're all just kind of like, I don't know. It's kind of weird.
Oh, it reminds me. We got some like sexism in the beginning of the episode where Hitchcock's like, he's throwing the parachute on Dr. Tyler or Lewis, I can't remember which, and he's just like, what are you afraid of?
Oh,
be
yeah.
a man, and like shoves her out the plane. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, that definitely, they slipped that in there too, so.
What's the matter? Be a man about it. Jump!
Yeah, man, there's a lot going on into the wilderness.
Into the wilderness. It's definitely a little wild for sure.
But all in all, like, you know, again, this is like your typical, like, obligatory Save the Planet episode, but not too bad. I mean, we got some cool, like, there was a part where I was legit like, holy shit, with the Ravager robot, the deforestation bot. It's where RoboCop and the scientist, I'm like mixing up her roles. Like, the scientist, we know who I'm talking about. the forest ranger lady. Like, they're climbing up the rocks. They're going to try to do the first attempt at recharging RoboCop. They're in there. And there's a moment where, like, the deforestation bot, the Ravager, like, with his claw clamp hand, like, just shoves it into, like, the building. And he full on, like... it looks like he just crushes Murphy and the Ranger. Yeah. Like, he just shoves it in, and I'm just like, holy shit, he, like, destroyed the entire room. But he pulls them out, and they're, like, totally unharmed. And just the way that he shoves his hand in there and the entire room collapses, I was like, they gotta be hurt. There's, like, she's gotta be bloodied or at least, like, her hair messed up or something. Because the way he shoves his, like, clamp hand in there, it looked like he killed him. I thought he killed him. Like, honestly.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal. That, I don't know, they seem to be ramping up the action a little bit.
Oh, dude, and the action will ramp up to its highest level in our next episode, which I'm kind of looking forward to. Our next episode, there's also a lot going on in the final episode of RoboCop, but that'll be next time, folks. That's going to do it for this episode of the RoboPod. We'll be back next time with Menace of the Mind. You probably don't think I'm a very nice guy, do you?
What's going on? What's wrong?
I don't know. We're always having problems with this X-41 bottle.
I can fix it. I blew a model like this during the Cybernetics Wars.
Sir, please, sir! There's been a lot of changes since that early model.
Nonsense! A plane's a plane!